So you're going to need to bring with you a little bit of imagination. All right, so you ready? We're gonna go on a trip. Imagine with me a time when all of the travel restrictions have been lifted, a time when COVID is a distant memory and you can go to anywhere in the world that your heart desires with no restrictions on time and no restrictions on money. I want you to think about that place that you would most like to go. Where is that place, domestic or abroad, that you would most like to visit? Not move there, but just spend a little bit of time getting away and unpacking some of the things that you've carried with you over this last season of life. Now, with all the snow we've been getting lately, it wouldn't surprise me that if more than a few of you might desire some white sandy beaches of someplace tropical in the Caribbean, or maybe cruising through the crystal blue waters of the Mediterranean, through the Greek Isles. Maybe you'd like to go scuba diving on the Great Barrier Reef. Or maybe something a little more adventurous even than that, going on an African safari and witnessing something like the Great Migration in the Serengeti Plains. Or perhaps something a little more refined, like the quaint cobblestone streets of Paris. I don't know, it's your trip, you get to choose. So let your imagination run wild. Where would you like to go? All right, you got some place in mind? All right, great. Now what I want you to do is to take that picture of the exotic destination that you have in your mind, and I want you to completely get rid of it because we're not going there today. Now, I'm sorry, I know that's not very nice, and I apologize, although I do hope that one day soon, all of your dreams come true and that you actually do get to visit the place that you just imagined. But for today, and the next 40 days, I want to invite you to join me on a very different kind of trip. I want to invite you to join me as we head into the wilderness. Now, what wilderness is that, you may ask? Well, let's just say that the wilderness that I'm inviting you to visit with me is not going to be highlighted by Travel and Leisure magazine anytime soon as one of the hotspots to consider. The place I'm inviting you to visit is one that is solitary and mostly uninhabited. Few people actually dare to go to this place that we're headed because our destination can oftentimes be quite harsh. Now, should you choose to accept my invitation, I can predict with great certainty that there will be times where you feel really hungry. Times where you will feel unsettled, and times where you will feel totally and completely alone. You may even feel a sense of desperation because the thing that you will want most, you will not be able to produce or manufacture yourself. Over the next 40 days, as we journey together, I'm going to be asking you to look at and to reflect upon the difficult things in your life, to give some focus on the questions that you carry with you, which up to this point seem to have no clear answers. Over the next 40 days, I will be inviting you to open your eyes to what remains when all comfort is removed. I will invite you into places where you are hungry and thirsty for change, into places that you feel completely in over your head. Places that you feel alone and left to face the dark nights that you so often try to avoid. Over the next 40 days, I will be inviting you to experience what it is like to live by the grace of God alone. Welcome to our Lenten journey. Welcome to the wilderness. Now, In light of all that I've just said, you might be thinking, why would any sane person accept my invitation and go with me to the place that I've just described? I'll grant you, it's a tough sell. My marketing could definitely use a little work. But the reason you will go with me into the wilderness is because while the wilderness is barren and wild and sometimes even terrifying, it is also the place that we will discover that we are in fact not alone, not ever. The wilderness, while demanding, is also a place of encounter, a place where we can see and hear things more clearly than we ever have. A place where everything is stripped down, and we not only come face to face with our own humanity, but so too with the reality of who God is and what he has for us in this next season of our lives. And while it is initially a place of disorientation, if you stay long enough, it will become one of reorientation that will allow for new possibilities to emerge in your life. New realities to be born in you and through you as you become more open and honest with yourself and with God. So, ready or not, here we go on our journey into the wilderness. Now, just before I ask Daisy to read the text that we have this morning, which will come from Matthew chapter 3, the first 12 verses, let me say this. The events of the story that you are about to hear take place somewhere around 27 AD in the Judean wilderness, north and west of the Dead Sea. The central character in this story is a guy by the name of John the Baptist, who is wild and unpredictable. If you were to encounter him today, he would probably scare the bejesus out of you. He is a rugged nonconformist who carries out evangelistic crusades in, of all places, the wilderness. His primary job is to sound the alarm, to prepare the way for the arrival of Jesus, who is on his way and just about ready to begin his public ministry. So, that being said, Daisy, if you could read our text this morning, our text that comes from Matthew chapter 3, that would be great.
Good morning, Grace. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 3. Verse 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warn you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I will not be fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire."
So if John the Baptist were on The Bachelor, he would probably not be getting the first impression rose. He is at best a little strange. The way he dresses, his diet, the way he speaks. He's just a little odd. And he also comes off a bit angry, doesn't he? So what do we do with this guy? I mean, try as we might, he will not be domesticated. If I were his PR guy, I might revisit with him his approach, because if I wanted to get my message out so that it is received by the most possible people, this just doesn't seem like the best way to go about it. But this is his approach, and we dare not ignore him. Because you see, he is Miles Davis. He is the trumpet. He is the one announcing the arrival of a brand new era. He is initiating the wake-up call to those who have been deep in slumber. He is paving the way for the coming of the Messiah, for the day where God's salvation will arrive for everyone in Jesus. John is the one that the prophet Isaiah spoke of almost 700 years prior to his arrival. He is the voice crying out in the wilderness for a straight path, a return from exile to the glory that Israel once knew as the people chosen by God to bring blessing to the earth. He is proclaiming the coming of the kingdom, and he is calling them to repent, to turn around, to change their minds, to radically reorient their lives in a different, in a new direction. So the message needs someone to bring it that doesn't blend in, that isn't like everyone else, that cannot and will not be ignored, because repentance is essential if one ever expects to be free, free from that which keeps them stuck or paralyzed, free from making excuses, casting blame, or moving in a direction away from God's best for their lives. Repentance is essential for kingdom living. Now, granted, when you first hear it, it may not sound like very good news, because change rarely does. That's why so many of us resist it, because even if it has the potential to lead us into a better way, we have to first leave the comfort of what has become familiar and predictable and known. As you consider the invitation for your own life personally, pay attention to the response of the people who first heard John's message. How did they receive it? Were they offended? Were they scared? Did they resist it? Did they dismiss the messenger as crazy? According to Matthew and the other three gospel writers, people actually flocked from the city and the suburbs to get to John in the wilderness. And as they heard this simple message, they actually did what he told them to do. They confessed and turned from their sin and were baptized, signifying a total cooperation with God for a new game plan for their lives. You see, in John's day, the voice of prophecy had been silent for almost 400 years. So when he emerges onto the scene, the people began to associate him with the prophet Elijah, who was cut from a very similar cloth. And they think to themselves that John has also been raised up to be a vehicle through which God is actually speaking to them again. No one had heard anything like this for a very long time. No one had challenged the religious establishment for their hypocrisy, but he wasn't afraid. He pulled no punches when he called them vipers and demanded that they bear fruit worthy of their repentance. He demanded that their lives match their calling, lest their calling be removed. He was direct and in their face, and the people ate it up with a spoon. John called people away from their pretense, away from their hypocrisy, their life charades. He called them to live genuine, authentic, purposeful lives. He was preparing the way for the chosen one, the Messiah, who was about to establish God's shalom on earth. And he not only wanted them to receive this new way, but by God's grace, to actually help Jesus usher it in. So, what about you? I don't have a camel hair shirt or sweater, and I don't have a bullhorn. I haven't eaten any locusts lately, and I haven't cursed out any pastors or priests. But I am inviting you to consider John's invitation to repent, for the kingdom of God is near. But as I issue the invitation, it begs the question, repent of what? What are you asking me to repent of? Truthfully, only you can answer that question. Only you know what you need to turn away from so that you can turn towards something better. What do you need to repent of? You tell me. What has you trapped these days? What has you stuck? What has you afraid? What has you angry? What has you making excuses? What keeps you accepting and playing the role of victim for all these many days and weeks and months and years of your life? What has you settling for less than God's best for your life these days? What's keeping you from engaging the kingdom of God, that realm where everything is as God wants it to be in your life, right here, right now, today? As you dare to look at your life and listen for God's voice today and over the next 40 days or so, do not be surprised if one of the key things that you may need to repent of is your belief that things can and will never change. That no matter what you do or say, that you're going to be stuck forever in the mess that you've made of your life, or the mess that someone else has made of it. To repent from the fact or the thought that there's no hope for you. There is no beginning again, no chance of new life, if that has been your mindset. Don't be surprised if that confronts you, and you are courageously asked to turn from that to a different way, a better way. We're just getting started today, and as we head into the wilderness, I'm inviting you to that quiet, solitary place where you will courageously let go and open up and listen for the voice of God, who is calling you to repent of anything and everything that stands between you and the life that you were made to live. To repent from the thinking that things can't or won't get much better. To repent from the faulty idols that you've constructed and relied upon to give you a sense of identity or a false sense of comfort and security, and turn towards a saving, healing, redeeming, loving God who has better for you than what you've been settling for. And as you do, as you turn from all that has not been serving you well, I challenge you to bear the fruit worthy of your repentance. To stop putting conditions on your love just because everybody else around you does. To accept yourself as you are and to begin being at peace with yourself and with others. To be liberal with your kindness and generosity and stop living as if you were abiding in a world of scarcity. And to get busy every day cultivating the kind of gratitude that brings with it unspeakable joy, so that God's kingdom may come and his will be done in and through your life this day and every day moving forward. Because if you do, then this wilderness trip just might be better and more fruitful to your body and your mind and your spirit than any sandy beach you could have ever envisioned as your best possible destination spot. Let's pray. Father, this day we listen for your voice. And as you call us into that quiet space, that solitary space, that wilderness space that we've been so afraid to go to, would you give us the courage to actually look for and listen to the things in our life that are actually destroying them, that are deforming them, that are causing us to live at a much lesser level than what you made us for. I pray that today would be the beginning of new discoveries that liberate us into a new way of being. And if we feel that twinge, if we feel that prompting, if we feel that moving in our spirit, that we're moving away from your best, then would you give us the courage to repent, to change the way we think, which then ultimately changes the way we act? Would you lead us in a better way so that when we emerge from the wilderness, we will be free, that we will know resurrection life to the full? Would you be our guide on this journey? Would you join us in all of the hard spots? Would you give us what we need and allow us to trust you that your grace is enough? In advance, Lord, we'll give you thanks as we walk in a new way with Christ as our guide. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. So let's take a few moments together as we finish our time in worship for a chance to ask questions, a chance to make comments, just a chance to process together some of what you've heard, to make sure on the front end of our trip together that we're tracking, that we're on the same page, that we're understanding what